Refresh Cheryl in your anointing. Bring her your words. Speak through her. Help her to discern what you're saying at any one given point. And Lord, just open our hearts to receive the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. So is everyone in the sunshine today, do we think? We're very low in numbers, aren't we?
It's a lot of holidays.
Everyone's out, yeah.
There's a school fair.
There's a school fair?
I don't know where, which is where all this
got. Oh, okay. Well, we're here, aren't we? So that's cool, we're here.
How are you from the wedding?
And nice songs, Mark. I was thinking about those, yeah, great songs. So I today have one picture up there, so I don't know if you can guess what I'm going to be talking about. I think you're all a bit familiar with this picture now, aren't you? My undefeated picture. But I'm talking today about being hidden in God. And so I think there needs to be one focus, and that happens to be the way that's the image that helps me. For you, it may be something completely different. Maybe a picture of Jesus. It may be a colour. It may be whatever. Something in creation, whatever. But for me, that's it. And so as I got to choose the picture, there it is. But I want to talk about being hidden in God. And I want to start by reading Psalm 27. I'm reading it from a slightly different version. So if you want to look it up, I'm sorry. I can't tell you what page it is in the Bibles that are there. But I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. But you can follow it. It's not too different. I just particularly like this version. So, this is a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord protects me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to destroy me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will know no fear. Even if they attack me, I remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Listen to my pleading, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not hide yourself from me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my mother and my father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the path of honesty, for my enemies are waiting for me to fall. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done and breathe out violence against me. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. That's quite a challenging psalm, I think, that David's written there. And it's a reflection of how God sustained him through such difficult times. And David suffered so many hardships, didn't he, in his life. You know, he lost a baby son. He was hunted by this evil king who wanted to kill him because he was jealous of him. And even after that king died and David reigned, he had all the traumas that went on in his family, the rape of his daughter by her own half-brother, David's son. And then the murder of that son by another of David's sons, which sent the murdering son into exile. And then the murdering son came back, and then he didn't live as a prince. He then had to live as a commoner, and then he got angry about that. He wanted to dethrone his father. And even when David learnt of his son's plan to kill him, he still wanted to protect him. He gave those orders. And then when David's son was killed, the rebellion ended and David's heart was broken. You know, his life is full of so much just so much, so much that we could go with so many different themes. But today, I just want to focus on one verse out of that one psalm that I think is so important, which is so relevant to how he did survive. How did he do that? So verse 5 is the one that I want to focus on today, which is, "For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." So I want to share a few thoughts today about what that looks like, being hidden in God. Because that's how David survived. That's what got him through. That's what he says. And I looked it up, and hiding is mentioned 86 times in the Bible. And so I've been reflecting a lot this week about hiding. And I wonder what your thoughts are about hiding. What pictures, what feelings, what words does that word conjure up for you as an individual? Is it good or is it bad? Is it helpful or unhelpful? Do you see hiding as something brave, or do you see it as something a little cowardly? And when I was thinking about this myself, I thought, well, it kind of depends why you're hiding and where you're hiding as to what that looks like. And I was thinking about a few weeks back, I think it was, I was talking about shame and how fear and shame can compel us into our hiding place. But that hiding place is in the dark, isn't it? That hiding place can be in a pit of hopelessness, of darkness, of despair, of aloneness, of self-condemnation. And I don't know about each one of you in this room, but I've spent pretty large chunks of my life in that pit. And I was thinking about this week and reflecting on how actually just a few years back I fell back into that pit. Or maybe I jumped back into that pit. But I got to a point where I felt like I was leading a double life. I felt like I had no integrity. I felt like I was being punished. I was getting things wrong. I went back to feeling there's so much bad within me, and I couldn't face anyone. I didn't know what to do with myself. And so that familiar feeling of self-condemnation led me back to that familiar place of the pit. But the difference was, I knew that that pit wasn't helpful. I knew that place well enough to know that that wasn't the answer, that I knew somewhere better that I could go. And so I chose, it wasn't easy, but chose to actually reach out, and God helped me back out of that pit after much shorter length of time. And then I moved back towards the safe place, back towards the healthy hiding place that I want to talk about today. So what does that healthy hiding place look like? He will hide me in his tabernacle, in his pavilion, as some versions say. And pavilion, I was so excited to find this out. Pavilion comes from the word papilio, if I've said that right, which is a butterfly. So it signifies a tent that's made out of cloth, which is stretched out on poles, which is kind of like a butterfly. And I was so excited to discover that metaphor, because there is freedom in the hiding place. Sometimes we can think of getting into a place as not, you know, that kind of can be cowardly. But in that hiding place, there is freedom. And I thought more and more about that, and about that tabernacle, and about, you know, that is the holiest of places, that God would take me into that precious place. You know, that's what the tabernacle signifies, is somewhere holy, somewhere special. And it symbolizes not only being invited into just a property, or, you know, just on the land. This is into the most private space, the most safe place. This is the place where it's most precious to God. No one can intrude. And so I think that's the most beautiful description of the protection that God wants to offer us, and that he would welcome us into that most holy, precious place. And he will set me upon a rock. He will put us out of the reach of the enemy, and he'll strengthen us so that the enemy actually won't want to come near us. And that's a journey. And I thought, he's so good. He's so good. And I was thinking about, I don't know how recent it was, must be a couple of weeks ago, when we were singing the song, Who Is There Like You? Quite an old song that we were singing. At the time, the lyrics were, I've sung that song a million times, but the time, the lyrics kind of were fresh in my head. They spoke to me in a new way about this God, you know, this Who Is There Like You? This God that set us free. Mark was saying it in his prayers just now, I think one of the songs. It's just like, sometimes, although I've sung that song a million times, sometimes singing those words about, you have set me free, sometimes I feel like I probably shouldn't sing it because I don't feel like I've been set free. So then I'm being a hypocrite and I get myself into this muddle of, well, then I haven't got any integrity because I'm singing it, but I don't always feel free. But when on this occasion a couple of weeks ago when we were singing this song, I was looking at the words as we were singing it, and I was just like, your power at work in me is changing me. You know, and it's not about us feeling free, it's about the fact and celebrating the truth that he has set us free. The victory is won. Whether or not we feel it or not is something different. But we are set free. And we're a work in progress. Each one of us is a work in progress, and our feelings will catch up at some point. But meanwhile, we can find what we need. We can find that strength. We can find that resilience in the hiding place, in him. And I do believe more and more that part of that being hidden in him is deciding to worship him. And that's not easy. I find it's much easier to worship God when I'm feeling confident, when life is really easy. It's far harder when we have these feelings of, perhaps he's disappointed in me, or he's not listening to me, or he doesn't care about me, or he's ignoring me, or he's punishing me. Then it's like, well, I don't know if I want to be in that place of giving my whole life to him. And often we beat ourselves up over this. And again, I've written here that lyric of, in your grace I rest, in your grace I rest, hiding in him. He will make a way, but we need to hide in him. And you know, the enemy loves it when we stop worshipping, because it gives him so much power, because his voice can get louder. But he speaks lies, and it's hard to decipher them as lies at the time when he's speaking them. But this is the time when so much is so exciting to... Everything we need is in the Bible, isn't it? It's like, this is the time when we need to pick up our swords. We need to wield our swords. This is the time we need to pick up scripture, not allow those feelings to dictate our choices, because it's those feelings that lead to death instead of life. And we're not created to follow our feelings. We're created to follow Jesus. We're created to follow him. But our feelings sometimes take over so much in our lives. When we follow him, when we're hidden in him, when we stay in that safe place, we can face anything. And I was, again, in my reflections this week, thinking of particular situations of when I've really needed, when I've been in that place of, well, I can't actually do this unless I have you. And specific examples, and it just so happened that two particular things that came to my mind. One, I think, was prompted by Facebook, because it came up on some sort of memory. But one was when I jumped out of a plane, I think about 4 years ago. It wasn't arranged. I didn't just jump out of a plane. What's it called? Skydiving. Charity skydiving thing, whatever. I didn't just jump out. That would have been silly. But jumping out of a plane. And the other occasion that came to my head was getting into a plane, because I had problems getting in, because I had a bit of a panicky phobia about getting into small space. So two occasions. So different roots, perhaps different reasons for the fear, but still the things that were common in both those situations, other than the fact that one was getting out of a plane, one was getting in a plane, it was about trust, and it was about control, and it was ultimately about allowing Jesus to hold me, about being hidden in him. So I really felt strongly that Jesus jumped out of the plane with me, and he got, a few years later, he got on the plane with me. I needed him on both occasions, and he was there for me on both occasions. Bad things happen in life. We all know that. Every person in this room knows that. And we have a natural tendency to either withdraw when things happen, or we run, or we freeze, or perhaps we've done all three at some point. But we want to self-protect. That's our natural tendency, is to want to self-protect. I read a story, and I can't remember where I read it, but about a man whose parents both got taken into concentration camps. And he remembers the day when he got taken into care, because both his parents were taken. And I wrote down what he said. He said this: "The freezing cold inside me had done its work, suppressing the raging fire of anger and resulting in a sullen retreat into inner silence, the formation of an outer personality which was calm and at ease, but which masked a sleeping volcano, had already taken place." So he knew, he was aware of what was happening as a result of that, what he was going through, what he went through. And he hid, but he didn't hide in Jesus. He imprisoned himself in isolation to survive, as an attempt not to get hurt again. And again, Mark said it in the prayers, we're so blessed to be in this place. I know I take it for granted, this church, this community, the fact that we have each other, the fact that we have this culture of accepting each other, of it's okay not to be okay here. I think we all know that. I think that's part of the culture of Junction. We know it's all right. We don't have to come in here and put on church faces and say life's great. It's okay. And I think that's such a wonderful gift to cultivate, because I don't think everyone and everywhere, and certainly every church has that. And I think it's a real gift, and it's a real privilege to be part of that. And I need to remind myself of that sometimes. It's such family. It's not, and perhaps it's because of where we are now that I'm thinking more about this. Well, we don't need to hide in this place, and I hope that every person that comes in here, every person that comes and visits this church, knows that it's okay not to be okay. And that healing environment, you know, that is such a, in itself, to know that's okay is healing. We don't need to retreat, we don't need to pretend in this place. And the truth is, often we can focus more on the enemy than on Jesus. And we can allow the enemy to rob us of the progress we have made. He so loves to remind us of, you've gone back there again. You've gone back in the pit again. Well, of course you did. You're going to end up in there for good one day, and the mud's going to come over you. That's what the enemy loves to do. And that's where we need to look to him. Because he celebrates each step that we take. He's undefeated. And he loves to remind us of how far we've come. I think it was Joyce. It has to be Joyce, doesn't it? Because I'm remembering the quote that says, each time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. It must be Joyce. And I've written here, Hebrews 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What he went through for us to be able to have this safe place to go to be able to go to this pavilion, this tent of protection, is given to us. And sometimes we can lose sight of him in our desperate search for, we can focus on some sort of breakthrough. Oh, we've got to have this breakthrough. We've got to, you know, we've become obsessed with it. Rather than just resting in him, resting in the safety of him. And the truth is that sometimes I think he leaves us a little bit unhealed. You might disagree with me with this, but sometimes he may leave us a little bit unhealed because it kind of increases our empathy for others, because we don't forget what it's like. It's real. It induces empathy. I've written here. It compels us to want to reach out to those. We haven't forgotten what it's like to be in that pit. And what the enemy wants us to think is that until you're completely and utterly okay, you shouldn't be doing anything to serve God, because you're just going to let him down. That's lies. Often we miss what God has planned for us because we're so focused on our own plans, what we think would be good. We get distracted. We want to be in control. We want to impress other people. We want to look good. We want approval. That's not what brings fulfillment. A couple of years ago, I read some words by Henry Nguyen. I love Henry Nguyen. I love his writing. But these words just came off the page at me. It had such a powerful impact on me. And as a result of them, I made some significant changes in my outlook, in decisions, life decisions, actually, about what I was doing. And just the one sentence that I've written down here out of that passage is this: as you come to realize that God is beckoning you to a greater hiddenness, do not be afraid of that invitation. And I realized for the first time that actually quite a lot can be done in the quiet place. And it wasn't a place I was very familiar with. I tend to always be in a bit of the loud place, which might surprise you. I didn't know how that was okay to be in the quiet place. How does that happen? But we spend so much time looking at what we think we should be doing, what would best help God out, rather than listening to what is he saying? What is he saying in that quiet place? In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And that verse was actually a particular verse out of that psalm. Was the verse that I felt very drawn to, very led to, when I had insecurities about our move to Canada. And actually, one time recently, I was praying about it. It's just like, I think I told Mark this, that the house that we're buying is on a rock. It's actually on a rock. And I even had in my devotional, it says this, which is around the same time. It says, trust me and don't be afraid. Many things feel out of control. Your routines are not running smoothly. You tend to feel more secure when life is predictable. Let me lead you to the rock that is higher than you and your circumstances. Take refuge in the shelter of my wings, where you are absolutely secure. When you are shaken out of your comfortable routines, grip my hand tightly and look for growth opportunities. Instead of bemoaning the loss of your comfort, accept the challenge of something new. I lead you on from glory to glory, making you fit for my kingdom. Say yes to the ways I work in your life. Trust me and don't be afraid. So, hidden, you know, to me it was a little bit of a hidden but lifted onto a rock. How does that make sense? I didn't know how those two things kind of worked out. But the more I was kind of thinking about this and sort of just talking to God, trying to work it out with God, it reminded me of many years ago, and I'd written in my journals, I've been sorting out stuff to go, and I'd written it in one of my journals, that God, of God's promise, that he said when I was walking one day, and he said he would lift me out of the pit and set my feet upon a rock. That's Psalm 40 that he says to all of us. Psalm 40 verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. So sometimes we need to make that choice to believe that he may move us out of our comfort zone. We may not know why, but it's for a purpose. And so I am choosing to hide myself in him rather than being inclined to go back in that pit, because I know that he knows best. And Corrie ten Boom, she says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I love that. I think that's so, it's just so beautiful. But we have to fix our eyes on him, and we have to reach out to him in order for him to do to take us to the next part of our journey. And 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love never failing, and Jesus is that love, isn't he? And our mandate, when we look at everything in life, our mandate is to bring other people to to him, so that they can know that love, so that they can know what we know. Like the paralyzed man, like the friends that lowered him down through the roof. They took him to Jesus so that Jesus could heal him. And he sees us, doesn't he? He could see that man before he even got lowered down through the roof. But he sees each one of us. He knows each one of us. He loves each one of us with a love we can never comprehend. And he invites each one of us to be hidden in him. There's room for us all in that safe place. Have any of you seen the film Wonder? I saw it recently with Ben. I don't know if you're with us, Mark. It's just a beautiful film. And it's about this small boy who has a deformity. And he's so ashamed. So he hides from the world in this space helmet. But eventually people get to know him for who he is. And he has quite a journey. I think I probably booed through a lot of this film, but it's a beautiful story. But I just asked Danny if he'd put on the trailer of this film. What have I sent you? Have I sent you the right thing, Danny? No, I don't know either. We'll see. I don't trust myself with film. I've had some disasters in the recent months, haven't I, with film clips. I'm a bit scared. I hope it's the right one. Yeah, please do. Is there any children around? No, it's okay.
My name is Augie Pullman. Next week, I start fifth grade. And since I've never been to real school before, I'm pretty much totally petrified.
I'll see you later.
Okay. You don't want to walk up with your parents because it's not cool.
But you're cool.
I know I am, but technically most dads aren't. And neither are these helmets.
Dear God, please make them be nice to him.
I'm not an ordinary 10-year-old kid. I've had 27 surgeries. They've helped me to breathe, to see, to hear without a hearing aid, but none of them have made me look ordinary.
The incubator, Bunsen burners. Oh, and this is an eraser.
You know what an eraser is, right?
Look at his face. I've never seen anything that ugly in my life.
If I looked like him, I'd swear I'd put a hood over my face.
I know you don't always like it, but I love it. It's my son's face.
You are not ugly, Augie.
I just have to say that because you're my mom.
Because I'm your mom, it counts the most, because I know you the most.
Hi, you don't have to do this.
I don't know what you're talking about, Augie.
You don't have to pretend is all I'm saying.
Augie!
Okay, I'm really sorry. Why are you sitting here then?
Because I want some nice friends for a change.
Me too.
Who is it that I aspire to be? That is the question that we should be asking ourselves all the time.
Hey, Jack, come sit here.
In a sec.
Like to be able to control the weather.
That would be your superpower?
That sounds pretty lame.
What would you do?
I'd be invisible.
You're the toughest kid in that school. Show them.
You can't blend in when you were born to stand out.
Surgery.
It takes a lot of work to look this good.
It's a beautiful film. I'd highly recommend it. But that, what his mum said, because I'm your mum, it counts. I know, because I know you the most, I think she said. And that's like God, isn't it? He knows us the most. Doesn't matter what anyone else says about us. He knows us the most. And as he says in The Shack, you're all my favourites. You're all my favourites. So we can choose to take off our masks. We can choose to take off our space helmets, whatever it is we're protecting ourselves with. And we can hide in Jesus. We can get out of that pit and we can hide in Jesus, knowing that our true identity is in him. No one can take that away from us. No one can rob us of that because we're all his favourites. Mary, I always seem to be thinking about one Mary or another, but Mary chosen to carry Jesus. You know, she had to endure persecution, didn't she? Just like her son, for being an unmarried pregnant lady. But she didn't hang her head in shame. She hid herself in him. And even when she saw him being tortured, she focused on him. She stayed hidden in him. She knew the truth. This is the truth. So I wonder where each one of you in here is today, where you are right now. Are you hiding from him, or are you hiding in him? Perhaps if you're hiding from him, then today you could choose to hide in him, because his arms are wide open, and because he is such a safe place, he provides such a safe place. If you're already hidden in him, hooray! That's brilliant. But I'm sure you know others that aren't. I'm sure you know others that are wearing their space helmets or that are in the pit. And maybe you could help them out of that. Maybe you could help them take the helmet off. Offer them the encouragement they need to come out of that unhealthy hiding place and into the hiding place that God has given for us to heal. He can redeem anything. He can redeem anyone. No one is excluded, and that is such good news in this broken world. But we have to make that decision. We have to own our own brokenness, or perhaps a broken piece that we're trying to deal with, so that Jesus can heal us. Unhealthy hiding, sooner or later it comes out. I'm going to tell you about my kitchen cupboards. My kitchen cupboards... Mark's laughing now. My kitchen cupboards used to be horrendous. They were just like... If you open them, and you're lucky if you survive, because everything just used to fall out and hit you in the head. It was just horrendous. So I would just sometimes pretend. Now, if I'm honest, it was actually a bit more than the kitchen cupboards. It was every cupboard in the house. I hoarded terribly, everywhere. Hoarded. There was stuff everywhere. And this is very much in my mind now, right now, because I'm getting rid of stuff. But I stored so much stuff, and it was down to insecurity. I'd know what it was about. I needed to keep everything. And one day, this is in our old house, I might have told you this before, I don't know, but water started dripping through the ceiling into one of the boys' bedrooms, and it was because I had hoarded so much stuff that the water tank, knocked on the water tank, hadn't it? And it started leaking, knocked onto a pipe, and so basically the point is it couldn't be contained any longer, and so it leaked. Sooner or later, I just feel like that's such an analogy of how I can be, and how probably, you know, some of you can be in some ways. Because sooner or later, it's going to come out. It's going to leak out in one way or another if you don't deal with it. If it had been one thing at a time that I'd dealt with, you know, because that's the journey of life, isn't it? We're like, oh, I've got this fear, I've got this, I'm ashamed of this bit, I've got issues that we have in life. I've got a bit of a problem with that word, issues, but you know, there's just that, like, oh, let's deal with this bit. What did I do? I just did it, build, shove it all in the cupboard, shut the door, and it leaks through the ceiling. It's just like, such, rather than journeying step by step, hide it away. It's too much for anyone to deal with. It's too much for God to deal with. So I just shut the doors. The truth is, I was looking in the wrong place for security, obviously. I'm not going to find security in stuff, am I? But I didn't know that then. So that was an unhealthy hiding place that I'm really glad that I've left behind. And now I seek more and more. I'm still a work in progress, but I'm seeking more and more to live a clutter-free life. I don't want that stuff. My security is not in stuff. It's not. I don't want crap in my cupboards. I don't want it. I just don't want any of it. I've been half tempted to just leave everything behind when we go to... Mark said about it once. I was like, yeah, let's just leave it all behind. Just go with nothing. Then I feel a bit insecure, but it's symbolic, isn't it? It's just like, I want to go into my kitchen and open the door, not because anyone else is going to see it, but because I want to know that there's no clutter in there for me. Not because I want other people's approval, but it makes me feel better that it's like that. Satan tries to tell each one of us that we're not okay, we're not good enough to be used. It's not good enough to say, I'm a work in progress. We have to be fully there. He would say to me, you can't get up here and say any of this stuff until your cupboards are completely immaculate. Nothing is out of place. You have no insecurities, you have no fears, you have no shame. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, you're a work in progress, and it's okay. You don't need to hide in that unhealthy place. Come to me. Come hide in me, and we'll work through this stuff together. And he promises he will complete the work that he started in us. Everything we need to be encouraged is in the Bible. It's all there. I will complete the work that I started in you. What a promise. If we could just hold on to that. We're not a finished work. So I hope today that each one of us, wherever we are on our journey, can choose to take another step out of unhealthy hiding, or to help someone else come out of unhealthy hiding and seek to hide in him rather than from him. I'm going to say a prayer. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much for what you reveal to us. Thank you so much that you care so deeply about each one of us. Thank you so much that you are such a safe place. Thank you for the symbolism. Thank you for the metaphors. Thank you. You just think of everything. Even the whole concept of the Trinity, of God, of Jesus, of Holy Spirit, that you give us that. So however we relate to you, that's okay. Thank you that you gave creativity to us as humans, that we can take that and use it in order to further your kingdom, in order for others to see, do you know what, that's about God. You're so loving. You are love. And I thank you so much for that. And I pray each person in this room, wherever they are on their journey, will rest more in that safe place that you offer and move away from perhaps the unhealthy places of hiding from you. Seek to hide in you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Cheryl, for that. If you want help cleaning out your cupboards, there's going to be a prayer team over here.
Or a skip over there.
There you go. So you've got an offer already, that's it. You know the stuff you pull out and it says 2013 on, and you think, oh, do we really keep it for that long?